And then this is a perennial. This is not just a Calvary question. This is a question everywhere, especially for the younger people. They go, what will we do in heaven? You know, it's the, I don't want to sit around on a harp, on a cloud, doing a harp for this.
So
look at Revelation 21 real quickly. I love this one. What are we going to do in heaven? Revelation 21. And it's very interesting play on words. There are two words for new in the Bible. There's naos and kainos. Kainos means a new version of the same kind. Like, these are my favorite shoes. And when they wear out, I'm going to get another pair, and they'll look just like that, only they'll be new. But they're not different. They're new, the same. If I got naos shoes, I would get orange ones or something. They would be new, different. Now think for a minute why I'm saying that. Heaven is always described by this word, which is new, or what theologians call renewed. New of same kind. So for a minute, think about that. Heaven is not going to have orange grass, pink water, unless it's during the tribulation. Of course, that's going to all be gone when the water turns red. But what I'm saying is, heaven is new in the sense of a renewed form of the old, not different. So now back up and think about, what was life like before the fall? Because heaven, in some senses, is described as a paradise. It's kind of like going back to the Garden of Eden. What was the Garden of Eden like? Were Adam and Eve sitting in classes all day long, taking notes, singing and doing all the boring stuff, you know, that people associate with that? No. They were just having the best time walking with God, their creator. Clothed, in fact, the Psalms seem to imply that they were actually clothed in light. In fact, the fall, God turned the light off and they went, oh, we don't have anything on. It appears that they were clothed in light from the book of Psalms. So, heaven, here's the answer because we only have 4 minutes. What will we do in heaven? Heaven will be glorifying God, doing everything he created us to love. Think about that. God is not a cosmic killjoy. He's the one that invented eating. In fact, every time Jesus described heaven, you notice that nearer the description is the idea of a banquet, of sitting at this banquet. Did you know, to us, we eat like at banquets, most of us, and go to restaurants where you can order anything you want. You can order as much as you want. In the world of the Bible, only a select few could have what they wanted. Everyone else scraped out and eked out an existence. And the banquet metaphor or motif to them was unbelievable to think of sitting and not working and having someone bring you food and getting seconds. That was like, and so think of it. Heaven is glorifying God, doing everything he created us to love. Banquets of eating and drinking, being around growing trees, bearing fruit. Heaven has trees that are growing measurably, month by month, it says in Revelation 21, bearing fruit. So this idea of time shall be no more, it's not like time is frozen and everything's just the same. There is passing of time. That word in the Bible, in Revelation, where it says time shall be no more, it doesn't mean time shall be no more. It means no more waiting. It's going to happen now. It doesn't mean time is frozen. There's still going to be the passage from us who are finite of time. It's just endless. It never runs out. Your meter never runs out. So things are going to be growing. Things are going to be bearing fruit. There's going to be flowing water. They're indescribable color. It says in Daniel, we're shining like the stars. And did you know what? Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Did you know that forever? In fact, someone asked me, they said, I'm not going to be able to be there tonight. Tell me what you're going to say tonight. I don't care about the demon intrusions and I don't care about falling in hell. I want to know what I'm going to do in heaven. And I says, everything that you most love to do here without sin, without tiredness, without indigestion, without gaining weight, without getting tired, That's how the Lord portrays heaven. And it portrays it as we are going to endlessly be enjoying God. Why do you think he made so many colors? And why do you think that every time they look out in the universe, they see more indescribable beauties? They just found two clusters of galaxies that are more than they've ever seen before. And they're just talking about that. God made that. And we're only seeing it after sin. Can you imagine how wonderful and beautiful this universe is without it groaning? It says in Romans 8 that the whole universe is groaning. It's awful pretty for being sick. Can you imagine when the sin is removed and when we will be able to move around like the angels and Jesus did? Jesus could walk through walls. Jesus could be in Galilee and in Jerusalem and before the Father's throne and no spacesuit, no airlocks. You know what I mean? Think about heaven as being doing everything he created us to love. Him most of all, but worshiping him as his creatures through his creation. So I think that what we're going to do in heaven is going to be far more fabulous than anything that any of us could ever imagine. And if you want to read an interesting book on it, Randy Alcorn wrote one, but the only thing is he says a lot more than the Bible says, but that's all right. He stays within the lines and adds to it. But let's all stand so that we end on time because it's quarter after. And with this in our mind, number one, beware of anything to do with the occult. I would be offended to watch anything about witchcraft and occultic things. Why does it offend me? Because it offends God. And so more and more movies are about the occult. And you should be, if someone was cussing and swearing at someone you loved, you'd get up and walk away. You say, I'm not going to listen to that. If Satan is being portrayed, you should walk away from it. Have nothing to do with it. God says, have nothing to do with the occult. Number two, the endless falling in hell. Think of the lack of security that people in hell will have, that they're endlessly without any sure foundation. They are adrift forever. And that's the idea, even though it doesn't say falling. But most of all, think about heaven. And think about new in the sense of the best of everything here, only even better. It's kind of like after people have cataract surgery, they go, whoa. Everything's so bright and vivid. That's what the universe is going to be like without sin.